Welcome to the Platinum Presenter Podcast, episode number 3, the 4M Objective. Our oldest son, Sam, is spending the next 6 weeks in Singapore, and we are so excited about seeing that because it's part of a mission outreach, and his parents were certainly thrilled to see Sam use his life to positively impact the world. In fact, a few weeks ago, I interviewed Sam for an upcoming Live Your Mission podcast. I asked him to share 3 things he felt that Marla and I did right as parents and 3 things we could have done better. But since he's 19, we thought this was a great time to do the interview. He still asks for money, and yet he's gained some independence, having been in college a year. Now, on the did right side of things that he mentioned, our faith and our mission focus were something that he felt we really did right. And we allowed him to foster his own belief system, even though we tried to, you know, certainly guide him, but we didn't force him. He's seen us travel to orphanages around the world, and when he was old enough, he actually got to go with us. And now he's getting to go on his own. And that's exactly how life works, right? We pass on a piece of ourselves to other people. Sometimes we pass along the good traits, and honestly, sometimes we pass along the bad traits. But we can easily see the principle at work that we're going to pass on what we've learned. And so I want to pass along to you some of the good things that I've learned in building a platinum platform. You see, the 4M objective is the first in a series of platform-based messages to help you really get your word out, to build your platform in a way that's going to attract and grow your audience. And so in this first part, we'll talk about the 4Ms. And the goal is to help you to discover, develop, and deploy your speaking business. Now, if you've been speaking in business for a while and you've taken a lot of professional speaker training, you know, honestly, some of the things that I'm going to share in this series, you may even disagree with. I'll be the first to admit that I didn't go, and I'm not going, the traditional speaker's route. And I actually do not follow a lot of the traditional speaking principles that are taught out there. And I'm certainly not going to teach anything that makes us look fake or plastic. So my goal is to help you become an awesome speaker and to help you build a fun speaking business. Something you look forward to every day and something you enjoy, something opposite of a job, something that makes folks say things like, what, you get paid how much to talk? Now, maybe you don't even want to get paid to speak, and that's cool too. This series is going to help you get your voice, your message out to the masses. The more people who hear you, the more lives you impact. And one final note before we get into the actual content, use what you need from this series. Ignore what doesn't fit you. Use the comment areas at my blog at platinumpresenter.com to leave any comments or to ask any questions. In fact, before this podcast was recorded, I'd asked people to turn in some questions. We have some of those that I'll share with you later in the program. So, Platinum Platform, Part 1, the 4M Objectives. Now, I want to remind you again that you are a public speaker. That's a fact. So, just leverage it. This series is going to help you pinpoint your strengths, your message, and monetize it if you choose. However, this isn't a do all of this series. So there may be a few elements that I'll hit that you'll feel are really essential and I will feel are essential as well. And then there'll also be some options. You just decide whether or not you want to do it. Build the type of platform that you will enjoy. Often we say, let's start with the audience. We can give the audience what they want. But if we're giving the audience what they want, but it's something we don't like delivering, well, we're not going to be much fun and very creative in the process, and we're certainly not going to have the type of delivery that makes people want more of us. A platform stems from your core message and the ways that you deliver it. Take Martin Luther King, for example. His platform was equality. Zig Ziglar's platform, human achievement. John C. Maxwell's platform, leadership. Each have a core message they deliver to the masses. So the question is, what's yours? And if that's not firmly in place yet, I want to give you a plan to help you do this. The Platinum Platform Plan. Number 1, message. Number 2, market. Number 3, method. And number 4, monetization. So let's look at those. So M1, message. Before you can become a keynote speaker, which is a dream for many communicators, you must know your message. You've heard speakers probably say something like, oh, I can speak on anything, anything. Uh-huh. Okay, let's do a challenge round real quick. I need a 90-minute keynote on the latest pharmaceutical breakthrough for bipolar disorder. You've got an hour before you step on stage. See? We can't speak on anything. Now then, what should you speak on? What can you speak on? Should it be a passion? Should you find out what people want and then design your platform around that? Should it be something you're interested in learning more about and you take your audience on a journey with you? All of those can work to some degree. However, if you want to become the best speaker you can be, this passion list will help. The P for passion stands for passion. What energizes you? What excites you? What can you not shut up about? You've probably heard, follow your passion and the money will follow. Well, maybe the money will follow. But when you do follow your passions, you speak with more conviction and more confident. So what's your list of passionate topics? If you're not sure, ask friends. Ask your friends what you are talking about all the time and make that list. That could be a great anchor message for you. The A in passion is for aptitude. What are your skills? What are your abilities? What are your talents? Make a list of what you excel in. Paul, I'm not really good at anything. Bull, I'm so sick of hearing people say that. You're good at several things. You probably just think you're average at those things. You might think that it's arrogant to say that you're good at something. It's not true. When speaking based on aptitudes, you're leaning on a strength. And strengths always make the work feel light. So don't be fooled by that. Make your "I'm really good at these things" list. Write down everything that you're able to do at minimum average, but even better, things that you do better than the average person out there. Number three, the S in passion is for spending. Where are you currently spending money on personal growth and education? Where have you spent money in the past? If you were to look on my bookshelf, you would notice hundreds of books on communication, marketing, business, and faith. You'd see firsthand the money I've spent educating myself and growing in those areas. That doesn't include money I've spent on other products, college, or seminars in those areas, yet I would feel comfortable speaking on any topic on my bookshelf. I've invested and ingested heavily in those topics. Make a list of your investment in education or the seminars you're attending. Dozens, if not hundreds, of books that you've read on the topic. Because where you've spent that money, where you've invested and ingested, can be a great source of your speaking topics. The second S in passion is struggles. What problems have you faced? What challenges? What heartaches? Now, if you've watched my presentation from Boss, and it's there at platinumpresenter.com, a full 60-minute keynote, then you know that my first wife passed away in my arms. Our son, Sam, who's in Singapore right now, was only 5 weeks old at the time. I instantly became a single dad and suddenly faced life in a way that I never imagined. However, that struggle has generated incredible income because of the way that it's helped others. Maybe you struggled with weight and you lost over 100 pounds. That's a powerful platform to deliver your message of hope to others. Maybe you struggled at the hands of an abusive parent. That's a solid platform to deliver your message of perseverance and inner strength. Maybe you stuttered as a child and were teased relentlessly. That's a strong platform to deliver your message of overcoming labels. Write down the struggles in your life. Beside each one, write down how you can use it to help others. Write down what you can teach others. It could become a powerful platform for you. The I in passion is for interest. What do you like to do? What do you enjoy? I like golf. It used to be a passion. In fact, I used to play daily from 8 to 5. I skipped pretty much my first 3 years of college because back then you didn't have to be there. You didn't have to be there. There was no attendance requirement. And I would just show up for the finals. Things I think have changed now. I think Sam's actually having to show up for class. But I approached golf like a job. But I'm not as crazy about it anymore, so it's moved into the interest category. I could build a platform around it. I might not do keynotes related to golf, but I could certainly build a golf blog, develop a podcast, hold webinars, write an ebook, etc. So it could become a great platform. So what are your interests? What's fun for you? The O in passion is obligation. What message do you have to share? What message makes you feel like you would not be living your purpose if you failed to share it? An obligation, this type of message is really a cause. It's something you believe in so strongly that you almost feel forced to communicate it. Think about the organization MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. That's an obligation platform. Listen to this from the MAD website. Candy Leitner founded MAD in 1980 after her daughter, Carrie, was killed by a repeat drunk driving offender. Cindy Lamb, whose daughter Laura became the nation's youngest quadriplegic at the hands of a drunk driver, soon joined Candy in her crusade to save lives. Now, did you notice the key word there? Crusade. Is there a topic that you feel that strongly about? The N in passion is niche. Where do you see a gap in the marketplace? Where do you see a hole? Where do you notice silence for a particular subject? Though I don't recommend this approach often, it may be for you. You may have no prior experience or education in this area at all, and yet you're saying to yourself, why is no one talking about X? Then you begin studying, researching, shaping your thoughts, launching your platform. You niche yourself with a specific message on a singular, specific topic, something that's been overlooked or ignored. Then you go out and you hit it. You focus on that message, you bring value, and you share it relentlessly. So there you go. 7 ways to help you find your message. Now here's the next step. Put each word in the word passion that hopefully you just wrote down. Put each one at the top of a sheet of paper, then fill in each sheet as much as possible with topics and ideas. Go back through and eliminate every idea that does not excite you. Look over the rest of the words. Which can you write or speak about every day? Which do you feel you could launch a blog about or tweet about several times a week? We're building a platform, not a one-time speech. See yourself becoming known for your message. When people mention your name, what subject do you want mentioned? And when you're ready to share your message, make sure you communicate with confidence and clarity. And if you're not sure how to do that, make sure that you get the perfect presentation formula. It's available there at PlatinumPresenter.com. So M1, message. M2, market. You direct your message to your market, your audience. My core message at Platinum Presenter is speak with passion or just leave me a note. The market includes authors, speakers, presenters, seminar leaders, and consultants. Over at my personal website, paulbevans.com, the message is live your mission. The market is businesses and human beings who want to make an impact with their lives. So yes, that's a lot more broad than the Platinum Presenter. At my online business training site, nicheology.com, the core message is find your niche, build your list, launch your product. The market is people who want to start an online business and make money from home. Every speaker needs an audience, and your audience comes from your market. It's the group you want to communicate and build community with. Here are top general markets: fitness, diet, nutrition, personal development, relationships, pets, business, travel, food and drink, real estate, money, health, home and family, gardening. And each of the general markets that I just mentioned can actually be sub-niched even further. So let's take business, the topic of business, for example, and let's break it down. Accounting, advertising, branding, career advice, change management, consulting, communication, customer service, ethics, fundraising, human resources, innovation, leadership, lead generation, management, marketing, networking, outsourcing, productivity, risk management, sales training, strategic management, team building, and much more could be added to that list. Each one of those could even be broken down further. So when you go to your market, make sure that you are focused. You can build your platform in one specific narrow area if you choose. My friend Jim Palmer built an incredible, successful platform around newsletters. Yeah, newsletters. So the question is, what market will you reach out to and serve? M1, message. M2, market. M3, method. How will you deliver your message to your market? That's your method. Here are some of the most common: keynotes, training, seminars, webinars, teleseminars, podcasts, books, reports, CDs, DVDs, digital audio, video, posts, blogging, your website. Now, I'd love for you to get away from the idea of being a, quote, keynote speaker. Actually, today, it's rare to simply be a keynote speaker. Usually, today, you are an authority. Some might say an expert, but I say an authority in a particular market for a particular audience. So don't think as much about being a keynote speaker. More like a trainer or a blogger. But you really want to think about yourself a lot bigger and broader than any of those words. Keynoting, webinars, whatever, they're simply delivery methods for the message to your market. That's it. So if somebody comes up and asks, what do you do? Well, I'm a keynote speaker. Really? What do you speak on? Motivation and success. Well, congratulations. You now sound like 90% of the speakers on the planet. No differentiation, nothing fresh, nothing memorable, and it's super generic. So how about something along the lines of, hey, what do you do? I help people get in phenomenal shape. Basically, when I get done with you, and every person that you know will not stop asking you about your secret for looking so awesome. Well, I like the sound of that. How do you do that? Your personal trainer? Actually, I train entire companies, keynotes, and on-site one-day boot camps to anchor the fundamentals. Companies see an increase in productivity by 10% after using my program, not to mention all the weight loss that happens as well. Again, speaking is simply the delivery system for your message. So if your message is helping people get in shape, helping people speak like I do, if you are out helping people further their investments or helping them learn more effectively or take the ACT better and raise their score by 2 to 5 points, all of those are simply messages for a market. And the way that you deliver that is vast. So being a speaker is not simply about standing on a stage with a microphone. That's a great way to deliver the message. But think much bigger than that. Every way possible that you can share your message is how your platform is built. So M1, message. M2, market. M3, what was it? You remember? Method. And M4, monetization. And let's talk about that. Do you want to monetize your message? Do you want to make money speaking? Some people really want to do that, and others say they don't want to because they're kind of scared of actually getting paid to talk, and they're thinking, maybe I could earn $100. Well, you could earn a lot more than that when you think of yourself as a speaker, trainer, etc., and charging money for the value that you bring. Now, warning, if you want to be a speaker just to make money, then prepare yourself, because this is a business. It's not all bright lights, loud sound systems, and cheering crowds. It's not always easy to fill your calendar. That's why I stress making sure you anchor your core message. Speaking is the easiest part. It's the passion. And if you aren't driven enough by your message, you'll fall by the wayside. So here are 6 ways to make money as a speaker. Number 1, keynote events. Almost everybody's favorite. So my non-celebrity speaker keynote fee is $15,000. That means that I don't have a string of books or even fame. I'm usually introduced through my agent or through a referral. Most of the time, someone hears me speak in an event and I get invited to do another. So I'm not a famous speaker or a celebrity speaker. You can spend a lot of time, energy, and effort and money just trying to get booked. Pick up a copy of Michael Port's Book Yourself Solid if you're serious about doing the hard work that makes a speaking business easy. Now, there are plenty of average speakers making $5,000 per keynote. No name, no book, nothing more than a solid presentation that others want to hear and are willing to tell others about. Number 2, pitch events. These are my least favorite engagements, while other speakers seem to love them. Basically, you speak for free and then sell a product or coaching at the end of your event. In general, the event host gets 25 to 50% of what you sell. Now, this type of speaking, it can be extremely lucrative if you're good at selling. If not, then use the events to build your audience and your email list. Now, the reason these are not my favorite types of events is that I've noticed a lot of speakers giving less than their best material in hopes of making money. I don't want to compromise my message for the sake of making a sale. I prefer just to have a check written directly to me regardless, so I can step up and let it rip and not worry about sales at the back of the room. But if you're good at selling, a pitch event may be good. Number three, training. Training can take place at live events, companies, seminars, conferences, webinars, and teleconferences. It can be much like a keynote in that you're controlling the information. However, with training, your audience usually learns and applies a skill right on the spot. A person could do a productivity keynote, but it would be more principle-based. A productivity training event would be more pragmatic. The group would actually take steps toward planning and implementation during your time together. You might think there's not a lot of money in training as there is in keynote, but sometimes it can actually be more lucrative. A friend of mine held three webinars for a company and charged $7,500. Each webinar was 60 minutes. I spoke at one of the events, and guess how many people were on the line? Seven. That's it, seven. The total number of employees for the company was 10. So don't think that you have to get these big events at big venues to make really good money. Each month, I host a webinar-based training event that regularly brings in five figures, and I never leave the house. One of my webinars brought in $83,000, and I never left the house. All right, number four, products. Obviously, the perfect presentation is great to use for products as well, and it's a product development, but it's actually my product. I don't have to be present for somebody to buy, to consume, and apply. I created it once and can continue to sell it. But it's still in the realm of speaking because that's what had to be done to create the product. Products allow people to grow from your value even if they never attend a live event where you keynote. The other big positive is that those who do hear you live will often go online and order all your products. Personally, I would create one or two products before booking keynotes. That way, you can start selling right now. You could literally have an audio product for sale and online by this time tomorrow. It just does not take long to create a product, put it up for sale, especially in this digital age, and have people consume your teaching, consume your speaking right now. Number five, affiliate products. You can't know and teach on everything, even within your market. Nobody can. In that case, you make recommendations for the products of others. Now be sure to include your compliance statement, and mine can be found at platinumpresenter.com/affiliates. And your compliance statement lets people know that you are aware that lets them know that you're going to get paid for the recommendation. So if you look at the sidebar of my site, you'll notice some ads right there. Those are affiliate links. If you decide that you want to discover great keywords to use in your post, then you might consider Market Samurai. You can see the image right there in the sidebar, and if you click an order, I make a commission on that. You should be doing the same thing at your site. You can even do this at speaking engagements. The key is to only recommend products you believe in and that your audience will be glad you recommended. Now, my rule is this. And here's the question that I ask myself. Would I recommend this product even if I did not make a dime from it? If the answer is no, then I won't add it. The product has to be able to stand on its own without any incentive. And number six, sponsors and advertising. Oh, this may actually be number five, sponsors and advertising. Most speakers do not think about sponsorships, but once you're hitting large crowds from the stage or from your website, you should and you can sell sponsorships. A sponsor is a little bit different than a straight advertiser. A sponsor expects to be mentioned and often sends you their products to use and display. Oh, and they give you money for that. Advertising, on the other hand, is what you might expect. Someone pays to put their ad on your site, newsletter, handouts, etc. If you're interested in selling ads from your site, you can certainly do it yourself or consider using buysellads.com, B-U-Y, buysellads.com. Also, check out Michael Hyatt's advertising page at his site. Also, be sure to buy his book, Platform, a step-by-step guide for anyone with something to say or sell. Now, number six, appearances. Appearances. Believe it or not, you can get paid just for showing up. This has not happened to me, though I do believe I was paid a couple of times not to show up. But honestly, if you're getting paid to show up, you're probably a sports star, celebrity, or former president of the United States. So getting paid for an appearance is a little bit rare. In fact, it's unheard of unless you're really a big celebrity or super well known in your area. Whew, all right, now that concludes the part one of Platinum Platform. So make sure you work through all four. Now, before we close out today's show, what I want to do is bring to you three questions that were turned in and let you hear those questions. I'll answer those, and then we'll be back for just a couple of closing comments for today's episode. This first question comes from Casey.
Hey, Paul. I'm Casey, the founder of SheShinesWellnessRevolution.com. I'm leading a revolution of women who are reclaiming their health so they can fulfill their life purpose with passion and energy. I'm having a hard time nailing down a niche who will pay me to come and speak. In your experience, will the Christian market pay for speakers, or should I focus on the women entrepreneur market or maybe the college market? My heart is for women, but women is too large a focus. I need a women's niche that will pay to have me come speak. Thank you so much, Paul.
Well, great question, Casey. And a couple of things to think about on this. First of all, the Christian market does pay. It does not always pay great. You know, it's rare that you have someone in a Christian market going, we've got, you know, unlimited budget. Hey, whatever you want, you name the price and we'll cut the check. It's fairly rare. So if you're going into the Christian market, I'm not saying there isn't money there. Certainly Women of Faith is an incredible venue and something you obviously need to be thinking about. That is the type of venue and the type of platform that you are going to need to be shooting for. And a big part of what happens in those venues is there are speakers' fees, no doubt about it. But most of the time, it's product sales. So if you're going into the Christian market, I would certainly focus on the sales products that you're going to release and how you're going to do other items such as webinars, audio sales, etc. So that's not always our perfect picture of speaking, but certainly it's one to consider. Now, women entrepreneurs is certainly a valid area, valid market, and also there's money there. And I'm not quite as familiar with that market, but certainly what you could do is that you could contact a speakers bureau or meeting planners and find out which women-only events, business events, are out there. And I guarantee you there are going to be a lot that you've never heard of and are going to give you the opportunity to go in and to speak. And these aren't always going to be the easiest to get into because you are vying for a spot in a more narrow niche that a lot of other speakers are wanting to be part of. But the big plus to this is that you could actually focus on women entrepreneurs or women business owners that have primarily females as their employees, and you could go in and do keynotes, do training events for them, and also do coaching and consulting. So often our keynote, you can build a business off keynoting, off speaking, but it's not near as lucrative as when you put in these other elements, product-wise, coaching, consulting, etc. So out of those markets that you mentioned, I really feel like the Christian market, the women market, entrepreneur market is going to be the best fit. And I would really lean a little bit more to where your heart's really leading you on this, unless you're so profit-focused that you're not worried about that extra hard work that is not going to be fun. One thing that I usually express to people is that this is a business. I mentioned it earlier in this recording. And when you're pursuing something simply from the financial side, it is going to be a business. There's going to be plenty of days you don't want to do it. If you're doing it from the passion side that it's going to lead to profits, then it's something that out of the gate is going to keep you focused and maintaining your vision for a lot longer. Both are valid markets. You have to approach those a little bit differently. The next question is from Kevin.
My name is Kevin Horn from Lebanon, Virginia. Website's josephsmantle.com. My message is Christians should positively impact culture by serving with their gifts, leading with their character, and advancing in the marketplace. My question relates to the market of the 4Ms, and I would like you to clarify and validate the profitability of integrating spiritual gifts and talent discovery and development, leadership and personal development, and effective marketplace ministry. Do you see that those three integrate well as a market to serve through my platform?
Hey, Kevin, I definitely believe that those three work well together. Let's say that your platform is being built around a blog. You could have those three overall topics as something that you are regularly contributing to, you're regularly talking about, that people come to know you for these messages, and you will attract a crowd for that. For example, we're both followers of Michael Hyatt and his blog and his writings, and he has attracted a lot of marketplace ministers, a lot there. But there's really no one leading that direction that vocally. No one that's actually stepping in and saying, hey, this is what we're focused on. We're going to do the spiritual gifts, the leadership, personal development, and marketplace ministry. And really the idea and concept of marketplace ministry is still relatively new. It's only been the past few years that people have been creating micro businesses for the purpose of actually starting or growing a ministry. And so that is something that I believe is going to really reach a new crowd at just the right time. There are a lot of people out there who have faith and would love to do something profitable, but still have even a little bit of that fear. Is it okay to do both of these? Is it okay to be in the marketplace and still be very mission-minded? But you know that I've been really successful doing that and really being very vocal about what I'm doing with money and with profits that I'm focusing on, and also leaning very heavily on what I believe are my gifts, my talents, and abilities, instead of simply going out there and getting trained and trying to, quote, make a living. It's more about creating that living and bringing that to the market. And I know that these three elements are all essential and all in and of themselves in respective markets, highly successful. I think the combination of these three is going to be unique, and I believe that you'll find a very good audience for it. Like anything else, it's going to take work, but there are a lot of bloggers out there right now, a lot of speakers out there right now who have this inside of them but don't really have a leader to follow as of yet. So good luck with this. I look forward to hearing your success story. And the final question today is from Tor.
Hey, Paul. My name is Tor Constantino. I'm from the greater D.C. area, and I write daily at a website, thedailyretort.com. I love your Platinum Speaker Series thus far. A question that I had, on Monday you mentioned the four M's, and one of those M's, the first one I believe it was, talked about message. The question that I have, is it okay to be, quote-unquote, an expert or authority in a variety of fields, and to be able to get bookings as a speaker in those areas? Personally, I write a lot about parenting and faith, but additionally, my day job, if you will, was a former journalist, so I'm very familiar with newsrooms, providing insight for companies and public relation firms on getting access to newsrooms, as well as PR in general. Sorry for the ramble, but just curious what your thoughts are in that regard. Thanks so much for the service, Paul. Take care. Bye.
Hey, Tor, thank you so much for all your writing, everything that you do. Do a great job, brother. I've loved looking at your blog and appreciate you submitting this question. And you certainly can speak on multiple platforms. Here's the challenge, is that you sort of need to set up a platform for each one unless they're in an overall market. But when you talk about, you write a lot about parenting, but you also have a great, you know, PR background and reporter background, well, those don't quite mesh quite as well. So it's a little bit difficult for people to see you as one who could train them as a reporter and could also train them as a parent. So some, even though I feel total confidence about that, when I look at, like I mentioned earlier, my bookshelf and see all these different topics, I feel proficient in all of them. But my audience or my buyer will have a harder time believing that I'm really equally good in each of these. And so if you build different platforms, then certainly you can help people see you in different regards and different respects. For example, my Paul B. Evans platform really talks a lot about living your mission, and it's very broad. Platinum Presenter is right there about speaking. Nicheology is about online training. And then I also do a lot of speaking for insurance companies, and I rarely send them to any of these sites because I don't want to confuse the message for that market. I don't want them to come on board and say, well, Paul really seems to be a online business trainer, or he really seems to be a communication guy. Why is he coming in and speaking on becoming a super agent. What's he know about insurance? Well, how's he going to be able to help us out? So there's always those types of credibility doubts and questions when they see a cross platform. Now, you can certainly have one overhanging market that shows your background, shows what you're able to accomplish, etc. And you can split that out a little bit and it can work. But for most of the time, I try to engage each market exactly where they are. I present materials that match that market so that it's easy for them to come to an agreement and easier for them to believe that I'm going to be able to produce the exact result that they want. Now, having said that, I don't believe that it's impossible to have one platform that you build all of your speaking off of. Certainly, if we've got books in every area, if we've got recordings in every area, if we have recorded speeches, videos in every area, then I think we can overcome. But we've got to sell ourselves equally, on equal standing, equal ability to deliver value in each and every topic that we say that we are very proficient in. So good luck with it, Tor. Again, love everything you're doing. Keep up the great work. Well, thanks for listening to another edition of the Platinum Presenter Podcast. Next time, we're going to look at actually designing your platform, what goes into creating a place such as a website to start building your audience. And in part three of this series, we'll actually be talking about building your audience, your email list, and gathering the types of materials that you've really got to have in place for a long-term business. Until next time, this is Paul Evans for the PlatinumPresenter.com. PlatinumPresenter.com. Visit us online. Please leave any comments or any questions that you have. And as always, speak with passion or just leave me a note.